Here's my notes that I never use. Good morning. Shabbat Shalom. What I want to talk about is kind of hard to put into words because it isn't an intellectual thing. It's an emotional and spiritual thing. But I want to begin by acknowledging you, my beloved brothers and sisters, my congregation, whom I love dearly and appreciate profoundly. I want to acknowledge something that I personally experience in your midst, I and my family, that is supernatural, that is evidence that God is in our midst. You cannot fake this. What I'm going to talk about today, you cannot fake. There are many congregations that operate at various levels. Levels that the human soul and will and intellect and natural human affections usually operate in. But there's a deeper level, a bedrock level, that is only of the Spirit. That is the level at which God operates. And there's only one God, and that's His level. Nothing created can duplicate it or imitate it. And it's because I can sense that people in this congregation are actually operating on that bedrock level. That's what I want to talk about. And I want to acknowledge, and I want to thank you, because it's for real. Some of the congregations, the thousands and thousands of congregations, they are known for their buildings. Other congregations are known for the wonderful teaching facilities they have and the staff to man it. Other congregations are known for their wonderful praise and worship. Those are all really important things, and they're good, and we need them. But if that's all we're known for, we're missing it. Some congregations are known for how much money they've got. Some congregations are known for how biblically correct they are. Some congregations are known for how messianically correct they are. Those are some of those levels, but that's not bedrock. Anybody can do that. You can copy that. You can learn that. You can manufacture it. And you can do that and be an ace at it without the fruit of the Holy Spirit. But a congregation that operates with the fruit of the Holy Spirit is giving ample evidence, supernatural testimony, that they are on the bedrock level. God's level, and that God is free to operate in them and through them and to circulate in their midst. Because in such a congregation, you see those gifts of the Holy Spirit that nothing else can reproduce or imitate. Unconditional agape love, supernatural joy, shalom, peace, patience or long suffering, gentleness, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, and self-control. Lots of congregations are good at controlling other people, manipulating other people. But a congregation that is good at controlling itself, that's supernatural. And it's at that bedrock level. Notice that first gift, supernatural, unconditional, agape love that only comes from the heart of God, that only God is capable of being and giving. That's what you can't fake. And I and my family have experienced that from many, many in this congregation. And for that testimony, I thank you from the bottom of my heart. It is such a privilege and such an honor. And it's glorious to be able to belong to this family because of that. There are many other wonderful things, but without that, it means nothing. But we have it. I see it. I experience it. And today I want to put fertilizer on it. We'd be gone. And anything else it will take to make it bigger and deeper. Okay. Let's start with some scripture. This is the apostle to the Gentiles, Shaul, Paul, speaking, writing. Under the influence of the Holy Spirit, he says, if I speak with the tongues of men and angels, but do not have love, I have become a noisy gong and a clanging cymbal. Big noise. No spirit. If I have the gift of prophecy, and I know all mysteries and all knowledge, and if I have all faith so as to move mountains, see, miracle workers, but I do not have love, I am nothing. And if I give all my possessions to feed the poor, a lot of congregations do that. And if I surrender my body to be burned, but do not have love, it profits me nothing. In the sight of God, it doesn't count. Why? Because it's in the level of the human soul, the fallen, sin corrupted, selfish, self-centered, rebellious, manipulative, predatory, and self-destructive human soul. Big deal. Yeah, it's got PhDs and gold medals and this and that, but it's not deep enough. It's not operating out of bedrock, out of what is heavenly and supernatural. Therefore, God's not in it. Love is patient, long-suffering. Love puts up with the unlovable. Love accepts the rejectable. Love forgives the unpardonable. Love is not jealous or competitive. It can afford not to be. Love does not brag and is not arrogant and does not look down its nose at anyone. Love does not act arrogantly or unbecomingly. It does not seek its own interests. It is not provoked. It does not take into account or keep tabs of wrongs that have been inflicted. It does not rejoice in unrighteousness, but it rejoices with the truth. It bears all things. Wow. Only God can do this. Flesh and blood can't do that. We all are highly limited. We all are weak. We all are selfish by nature. Only God can do this. And it has to be God doing it to us, doing it in us, and doing it through us. That's the hallmark. That's the acid test of a congregation. It's a question that God Father always asks in anything that pertains to a congregation. How much of my son is in this? How much of my son is in your thoughts, in your actions, in your reactions, and in your interactions? How much? Show me the one my heart desires. Where is he? That's all Father wants to know. Because if we come up with the right answer, all of him is in what we're doing. We're on the bedrock, operating at the supernatural, God-empowered level that cannot be faked or counterfeited. Love believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. Love never fails. But if there are gifts of prophecy, they will be done away. See, now he's sifting through everything that's temporary. It comes and goes. Here today, gone tomorrow. Prophecy. If there are tongues, they will cease. If there is knowledge, PhD level knowledge, it's temporary. It will be done away with. For we know in part and we prophesy in part, but when perfection comes, see, perfection is eternal. Perfection is changeless. It gets everything right the first time because it's God. When perfection comes, the partial will be done away with. The temporary will be gone. And all the things that don't last, that aren't on bedrock, when the tree shakes, they'll fall off. So that only what is eternal, only what is infinite, only what is perfect will remain. And it is at that bedrock level that any congregation worthy of the name must be rooted and planted. That's the ground we have to hold against the hurricanes of the powers of darkness. That's the ground we dare not give up. Paul says, when I was a child, I used to speak like a child, think like a child, reason like a child. But when I became a man, I did away with childish things. For now we see in a mirror dimly, but then face to face. Now I know in part, but then I will know fully, just as I've also been known. But now faith, hope, and love abide, these three. But the greatest of these is unconditional, supernatural, God-empowered, eternal love. For God so loved this demon-possessed world. God so loved selfish, self-centered, rebellious, manipulative, predatory, self-destructive people. Every stinking one of them. He so loved the world that he gave unconditionally, wholeheartedly, to the last drop, his only begotten Son, his living, creative word. He spoke into that mess and didn't hold anything back. Knowing everything they had become, everything that would be done to them, and everything they would do to anyone else. Knowing all that, God, who is love, poured himself out on behalf of it. With no discrimination, with no fine print, with no strings attached, God so loved every one of us. Infinitely, eternally, and perfectly, selflessly, he so loved that he spoke his living word into us and sent him on a mission, sent him with marching orders, knowing in advance we were his enemies, that we were rebellious against him, that we defied him in our heart of hearts. Knowing in advance, he did it anyway. That is supernatural love. That is not of this world. There's only one place you can find that, and that's in the heart of God himself. So you see, as far as God is concerned, he doesn't want any obstacle to get in the way. He wants no resistance. He wants no opposition whatsoever to stand in the way of us, every one of us, no matter who we are, what we've done, or where we're at. He wants nothing to get in the way of us being able to receive his Son, his love-giving, life-giving, freedom-giving, healing-giving, life-transforming Son. That's why he keeps asking, how much of my Son is in this? Have you received him? Or are you putting up walls of resistance to life, to love, and to truth himself? That's the issue that every congregation has to deal with, not only starting with itself, starting with its own heart of hearts, and then doing whatever is necessary and possible to remove the resistance and the rebellion that prevents the Son from blessing and saving and healing and restoring everybody else within its sphere of influence. God is here to water the desert. God is here to bring the dead to life. God is here to heal the mangled. God is here to include the rejects. God is here to give meaning and purpose to the homeless, to the lifeless, to the meaningless, to the hopeless. But he's got to have a body to do it through on the earth in the physical realm. A spirit has to have a body to operate in this world. So the Holy Spirit of God searches the earth looking. Is there any place where I can be at home? Is there anyone that will receive me? Is there anyone that will serve and provide me with a base of operations? Is there anyone that will be my launch pad to reach out to more and more of these people that don't even know me and are dying without me? Anyone? And wherever there's the energy always seeks a path of least resistance. Even the energy of God's love always seeks the path of least resistance. And wherever he is not welcome, the energy has to bypass. It's a law of creation. Electricity and water do the same thing, so does wind. The energy in a buffalo or a chipmunk does the same thing. Always seeks a path where it's open and avoids where it's closed. See, because especially with us, we have free will. And he's not going to take it away. It always has to be by our consent and our invitation. We have to ask for it. He's never going to ram it down anybody's throat. Because agape love doesn't do that. So God doesn't do that. Oh, he has his ways of getting our attention. He has his ways of letting us sit on the hot burner until we're ready to jump off the stove. But he'll never force it. We have to choose. So, because God's love is so other, so transcendent, it's hard for the likes of us to figure it out sometimes. You know, you can't figure it out. You just, it's too big, it's too deep, it's too, I mean, we don't even know what amoebas are. Remember, I told you that every amoeba, in each one, there's over, the best estimate is there's over 2 trillion separate electrochemical processes going on per second in every little amoeba. See, we're not that smart. Our minds can't get around too much compared to all there is to know in God's creation. See, so our minds are not meant to be, I'll figure everything out, machines. They couldn't be. They don't have the capacity, not even close. But they were given to us as instruments of believing God and agreeing with God and worshiping and obeying God. We could do that with our little intellects, our little soul and brain, but we can't figure it out. We have to believe. It's not by sight that we live, but by faith. And so sometimes when it comes to God's love, it's hard for us to get a handle on it and to understand it, and therefore it's hard for us to trust it. Because we only seem to trust what we think we got figured out. Wow, what a crazy roadmap that is to follow through life. So when Jesus says something like this, that really throws our computer, our onboard computers for a loop. He says, listen to this. It's in Luke. If anyone wishes to come after me, he must deny himself. That doesn't sound too exciting to people that are selfish, self-centered, rebellious, manipulative, predatory, and self-destructive. That don't make sense. He must deny myself. I've been trying to improve myself and exalt myself since I got out of the crib. What are you talking about? Deny it. And he must take up his cross daily. A cross? You know what happens when you get on a cross? You don't improve. You don't make it to perfect 10. You go to 0. Ooh, I don't think I like this kind of love. How can I trust that? But that's what he said. He must take up his cross daily and follow me. Yeah. That's right, Father sent him to go first, huh? Unconditional, supernatural, perfect, infinite love goes first. For whoever wishes to save his life will lose it. Wow, that's going to sell, isn't it? That'll really go good in Washington. That'll really go good on Wall Street and Hollywood. I think they'll kill me if I say this. For whoever wishes to save his life will lose it. But whoever loses his life for my sake He is the one who will save it. For what is a man profited if he gains a whole world and loses or forfeits himself? Boy, what am I going to do with that? So that's why, you know, if you're operating at the soulish level, the natural human intellect level that doesn't even know what an amoeba is, and you're going to try and figure out God by a text or two that's translated into your language, you might miss something. There was another place in John chapter 12 where Yeshua said something else that was really exciting to most people. He says, "Truly, truly, I say to you, unless a grain of wheat falls into the earth and dies, it remains alone. But if it dies, it bears much fruit." The poor human soul, the intellect and the will and the natural urges and affections and preferences and priorities that we develop in this world. And if you use the analogy of a seed like this acorn, that would be that hard shell that's all around it. And as long as this hard shell remains intact, as long as the owner says, "You know what, I think I need to put about 14 coats of glaze on it to strengthen it. Then I want to paint it up really neat and decorate it. Make it as beautiful as I can. Earn PhDs for it and gold medals. Get it to the top of the ladder, to perfect 10, so everybody may bow before its glory." Then this poor little thing will never be able to be what God created it to be, right? You'll never see any oak forest coming out of this. You'll never see any lumber, any subdivisions that are built with what comes from it. You'll never see anything else that can come from it as long as that hard shell remains intact. My life. The life I developed, the insights, the viewpoints, the glasses through which I view everything in the world, my life, with my mind and my will and my affections, my life. You're going to take that away from me? Yeah. Perfect love wants to do that. The world doesn't give a diddly. They'll give you a gold medal today and forget your name tomorrow. Hey, won't they? Talk about the Titanic. That sucker is filling with water and it's going down. It's temporary. And that's what you're investing in? No. Perfect love says, "No, get off. Let that thing sink. Let go of it. And I'll show you who you really are. I'll show you what you were really created to be by me. And I'll show you what's really inside of you, just waiting to come out. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, gentleness, goodness, and self-control that transforms lives and produces enormous heavenly eternal fruit will come out of one of these. If they allow themselves to die, to be put into the ground, because the ground is not friendly to this hard shell, is it? The ground starts working on it right away. It starts softening it. It starts weakening it. It starts causing it to crack open and fall apart. But if that happens, then what God put inside is free to come out. So you see, you can have a congregation that's born again and it still looks like a bunch of these. We got a ton of them. See? Just a whole bunch of hard shells. They have a tendency to bump into each other a lot, compete a lot, pull the rug out from under each other, because they still don't know who they are, and they don't know what they got. The imperishable seed of the life of the Son of God is still trapped. It can't do what it does and show what it's got, because that thing gets in the way. My life. You're never going to let go of the hard shell unless you got a clue as to what that hard shell is preventing from happening. But when you start listening to the Word of God instead of the wisdom of men, when you start looking at the Scriptures instead of the Wall Street Journal or the New York Times or the Utney Reader, you're going to get a new set of glasses to look at things through with a completely different prescription and tint. And when you put them on and look through them, everything is going to look different. And when everything looks different to your brain starts reformatting itself in a completely different way in accord with what it now sees and what it now knows. But if that doesn't happen and you just stick with the glasses you got before you were 10 years old, and you try to make a life out of that, that shell will never, never break open. The shell that we get in this world, there's a lot of people like this, including Christians. And because that shell is intact, they're really messed up. They misfire because that shell began to be formed from the moment they were born, and a huge amount of it was developed before they were 10 years old. They got their view of the world and their glasses to look through from their original home. A lot of those homes are crazy. A lot of those homes never went to university to learn how to be parents and successful people. They didn't learn their lessons there. They learned them somewhere else. The little child's mind doesn't start out hard like that. It starts out like wet cement. And then the world and the people in it and whoever happens to be around us puts in big gouges and deep impressions, usually in crazy, destructive, false ways. And then after a few short years, the wet cement gets hard, turns into concrete. And that creates a really weird set of glasses. And then when the person goes into situations, no matter what it is, the concrete, what was impressed in there and sunk into their soul and into their brain is like a chorus of negative voices. You know what a cheering section is supposed to do, right? Come on, we can do it. We win. Yeah, yeah. You're the best. You got what it takes. Go, go, go. See? But these people didn't. They had just the negative, opposite kind of cheering section. You're a loser. You're stupid. Why don't you do anything right? You're ugly. You're unlovable. You don't fit in. You're not important. Your needs don't count. Really deep things into that wet cement that turns into hardened mental concrete. My life, my identity, my priorities, my agendas. And these little things are so full of hot lava-type emotional voltage is trapped inside that shell that if you look at them wrong, they explode and scald you. Because they're still trapped in my life from the past. They're so filled with shame. They're so filled with an abiding sense of inferiority. They walk into a room and can hardly stand it because they feel like they're naked before their enemies. And they can't function. They shut down. They run away and make excuses for why they do it. Even then, they're trying to hang on to this thing, make it better, and get some medals for it. See, that just destroys everything that perfect love is here to do. It is so corrosive and so toxic compared to the love of God, compared to what it is to be healed of all those wounds and have brand new concrete laid instead of trying to fix the old thing that can't be fixed. So it's a really good thing to let go of it. It's a good thing to let it be crucified. It's a good thing to bury it in the ground with Yeshua. Because you ought to see what's on the other side, on the resurrection side, the wholeness side, the freedom side, the co-heir with Christ side, the child of God side, the eternal temple of the Holy Spirit side. You ought to see. Well, we can't see it because we don't know what amoebas are even, so we have to take God's word for it. That's why this is so vitally, unbelievably important. This is a revelation of the life God wants to put inside of us. This will tell you what to expect when that life is in you. Because you don't have to make it happen, you just have to let it happen. That's what the life is. It's supernatural. It's the life of the Word of God. If we give up that other thing we first start with, in exchange for that, everything starts working and clicking. And see, that's why I'm so grateful to be a part of this family, because I see it. I see it. I experience it. You do too. I see people who are so faithful, so kind, so considerate, so loving. They cover your back when you don't even deserve it. They overlook your warts. And when you need something, they're right there. And when they have a job to do, they're so faithful. They're there, rain or shine. Sick or healthy, they're there for the sake of the others. They go out of their way when they wouldn't have to. It'd be so easy to look around, go the other way. But no, they don't look away. They respond. I know that's God working through His people. And I bless His people for it, for allowing Him to do it. This is a treasure. It don't look like much by worldly standards. But maybe it's on bedrock. And as more and more of our hard shells are broken and rot and come off of us, the light gets brighter, the life gets more intense, the fruit gets bigger and better, and the influence will get wider. Because this is what everybody on earth was made for, and this is what every addict on earth has been looking for in the wrong places. But you can't force it. You can't imitate it. You can't counterfeit it. It's either there or it's not. But when it's there, and it shines brighter and brighter, you don't have to advertise. You don't have to drag people in here by the ear. People go anywhere, all over town, if there's a big fire going. You don't have to advertise the fire. It speaks for itself. So too, when God is in the midst of some people, everybody starts hearing about it. Everybody knows it. The people, they're not worried about numbers. They're just blown away by God in their presence. And I see that. And I want that to increase. And the only time it can increase is when those hard shells of ours decrease. May it be so. Hallelujah. Thank you. God bless you.